the book of 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. You can set your bookmark on Judges chapter 1 for next week, but this week will be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll be honest. The real reason why I have said that next week is the first week for the Judges series is because if I don't publicly set a date, I'll never be brave enough to tackle it. I just keep putting it off. So next week it is. Come ready for Judges next week and pray that I will be ready for Judges next week. This week as I prepare. 2 Timothy starts on Pew Bible page 1178. Pew Bible 1178. This is a distinctly Mother's Day message. Excuse me. Everyone else is invited to listen in and make personal application for yourself, but I aimed my preparation at the many mothers among us, especially the mothers of small children. If you're the mother of grown children, you probably remember what it was like. If you are not yet a mother, or never will be a mother, like all the men here, then you might not know what it's like to be the mother of small children. And you might wonder, what exactly do those moms do all day? Has anyone ever made the mistake of asking a stay-at-home mother of small children that question? Don't raise your hand. I found this article on a popular website that I frequent. The author says, on occasion, I've heard people who do not have children make a comment along the following lines. What exactly do moms do all day? Behind the question lies the impression that mothers sit around all day on beanbags, eating Skittles, and reading the latest issue of Real Simple. But nothing could be further from the truth. So for all of you who have wondered what it's like to be a mom, here are some simple things you can do to simulate motherhood. 1. Carry around a 30-pound sack of flour all day. Do not set the sack of flour on the ground for any reason. If you do, the sack will immediately begin screaming. 2. Place a large industrial fan in your kitchen. At every meal, make sure to dump at least one full plate of food directly into the fan. This works especially well with Cheerios and peas. Hopefully not at the same time. 3. Go to the local pet shop and purchase 2 howler monkeys. Take the howler monkeys home and release them into your house. 4. Try to hold an intelligent conversation or do a craft with the howler monkeys. 5. While carrying the sack around and taking care of the howler monkeys, make sure to read your Bible and pray. So, ladies, how is that? About right? Not quite enough? Thank you, moms, for your ministry, especially to children still in the home. You have an incredibly important job. Today I want to talk about the most important facet of your job if you are a Christian mom, and that is nurturing the faith of the next generation. Nurturing the faith of the next generation. Godly moms do that. Godly moms nurture the faith of the next generation. Now think about this. I want us to consider 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We'll start reading up in verse 1 and read through verse 7, but our focus today will be pretty much just on verse 5. It is the story, in one verse, in miniature, of two moms, a mom named Eunice and a mom named Lois, and the next generation, a man named Timothy. Let's read it and then pray together. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. you pray with me? Father, we thank you for moms. Everybody here had one. Thank you, Father, for giving them to us and for the life they gave to us and the nurture and care. The life they're giving to us and the nurture and care they're providing. We have many people in different places in this room. All of us can be thankful for our parents, for our mothers. I pray, Father, for those mothers for whom, or for those ladies whom Mother's Day can be very difficult. Maybe they're infertile, have been unable to have children, or maybe are unmarried, not yet married and not yet able to have children. I pray, Father, that their heart would not be sick with the hope deferred, but instead that they would have peace and joy, knowing that they are right where you want them to be. For those, Lord, that desire marriage and desire to have children, we pray for godly husbands to come along and for you to bless them. We pray for those that have been so far unable to bear children that you would open their wombs. We pray, Father, that you would remind each one that you are sovereign over their life and that you care for them deeply. That you gave your own son for them. You love them to give them the best. Lord, we thank you for the moms that are here, and we pray that they would receive this message and that all of us would receive a message from you as we consider your holy word. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's obvious that Paul loved Timothy and that Timothy loved Paul. This passage introduces the book where Paul is going to ask Timothy to do some pretty hard things. But it's based upon their mutual love for one another. Paul prays regularly for Timothy. He thanks God for Timothy. He remembers how Timothy cried when they were last parted. And he wishes that they could be together again. Paul even calls Timothy his son, though that was merely spiritual. We learned back in Acts chapter 16 that Timothy was the son of a Greek man, almost certainly an unbeliever. So Timothy's kind of an adopted son for Paul, and Paul tells him to fan to flame the gift of God, fully using his spiritual gift in courageous ministry, because that's what Christians do. God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, Timothy, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So go get him, Tim. That's the point of this passage. But tucked into the middle of this passage is this great verse, verse 5. That's one of the chief reasons why Paul is thankful for Timothy. And that is that he knows that Timothy has a sincere faith living within him. Timothy is what I call a real Christian. He is a true believer. And that gives Paul joy. And Paul knows where that sincere faith came from. It didn't come from nowhere. Verse 5 again. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Godly mothers, nurture the faith of the next generation. That was Timothy's experience. He had a godly mother, and he had a godly grandmother who passed on their faith to him. For those of you who are trying alone to nurture faith in your children, single moms, spiritually single moms, this should give you great encouragement. It can be done. Timothy's dad was no help, but Timothy became an assistant to an apostle and a pastor and a church planter. He was a real Christian. It can be done. Godly mothers nurture the faith of the next generation. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's how the family was set up in the Old Testament. Parents, including mothers, passing on the faith from this generation to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Listen to Psalm 78. Asaph says, "Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children." Catch this. "So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children." So that's Liza's grandchildren. Think about that. We're making an investment today in Liza's grandchildren's future and their faith. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. Or Proverbs 6 says, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they'll guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they'll speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life." So all godly moms are teachers. They nurture the faith of the next generation. Mothers are nurturers in general, but godly mothers are faith nurturers. They feed and care for the faith of the next generation. Thank you, godly moms, for doing that. I had a godly mom like that. In fact, I still do. Mom looked out for the spiritual needs of her boys and desired for us to know Christ and to grow in Him. She still does. I'm thankful for being the recipient of a longer line of godly moms. Both of my grandmothers were believers, intent on nurturing faith in their children and their grandchildren. And my line goes back farther than that as well. I am blessed. Not everybody can say that. Some of you here in this room are first-generation believers. No godly heritage to be thankful for. But that heritage can start now with you. Godly moms nurture the faith of the next generation. Now, I've only got 2 points this morning so that everybody can get to their Mother's Day lunch. Guys, we're making lunch today, right? Either that or shelling out the box, right? Only 2 points this morning, but they're both important. Here's the first one. Godly moms nurture their own authentic faith. Godly moms nurture their own authentic faith. Notice the flow of verse 5. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." You see the order? Where did this faith first live? In Lois, Timothy's Graham. And in Eunice, Timothy's mom. Graham and mom, then son. Graham and mom, then son. Now, it doesn't say that Lois had it first and passed it to Eunice. They might have both come to Christ at the same time. We don't know. But it was a team effort between the two of them to reach Timothy. That says something about the relationship between godly grandmas and godly mamas too, doesn't it? But the order was Graham and mom, then son. First, godly moms nurture their own authentic faith. Because you've got to have it to give it. You've got to have it to give it. Notice what kind of a faith Paul says they had. A sincere faith. If you have the King James, it says unfeigned. The Greek word is anupokritou. It's the opposite of hypocritou, hypocrite, hypocritical faith. These moms were the real deal. They were real Christians. They were true believers. They weren't playing a game. Their faith was sincere and authentic because you've got to have it to pass it on. So moms, do you have real faith in Jesus Christ? The answer is yes or no. If no, you can't do your job. It's your job to nurture authentic faith in your children. So come to Christ. Turn from your sin and trust in the Lord. Because kids can smell a fake. And they need the real thing. Moms, do you have real faith in Jesus Christ? If the answer is yes, what are you doing to nurture your own faith? What are you doing to feed your faith and care for it? Moms, are you reading your Bible? Are you in a small group or a prayer meeting or a Sunday school or a Bible study to nurture your faith? Are you in a mentoring relationship with someone? Do you go to MOPS? There's a little commercial for MOPS for Kelly. Do you have a friend that you can talk about spiritual things with? Your kids need you to take care of yourself spiritually. Let me say that again. Your kids need you to take care of yourself spiritually. I recommend that moms get away with other moms to talk about their relationship with Jesus. Dads, it's our job to provide those times for them to have that time away with the Lord and with other moms. Are you feeding your faith so it is real and strong? Now, I know you've got a 30-pound sack of flour and a howler monkey or two running around the house, but you do still have to find a way to feed your soul and grow your faith. It won't look like it did before kids. You'll think, how did I could maintain my relationship with the Lord before the kids came along. You got to keep doing it. You got to find a new way. You got to be creative. It's not going to look the same way as it did before kids, but don't stop. Godly moms nurture their own authentic faith first. So moms, what do you need to do today? Or today make a plan to do to grow your own authentic faith? Is it a book you need to begin to read? Is it a relationship you know you need to begin? Is it a time with God you need to put on the calendar? Of course, this principle goes for all of us as well, mom or not. Because we may not all be nurturers, but we are all supposed to be passing on our faith to others. So all the rest of us, guys included, what do you need to do to grow your own authentic faith? Some of you haven't been in church for a while. This is where you belong. We want you here. Make a commitment to regular attendance to Sunday worship. Because we can't give what we don't got. Godly moms nurture their own authentic faith. And then, number two, godly moms nurture their children's faith. It's that simple. Verse 5 again, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. They passed it on. It was real in Lois, it was real in Eunice, and now Paul is certain that it's real in Timothy as well. Parents, let's not stop until we know it's real in our kids. Keep praying for them. Don't stop with, oh, well, they prayed a prayer at Vacation Bible School. Don't stop. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop passing it on. Notice that phrase, lived in. Did you notice that? Lived in verse 5. Some of your versions say, dwelt in. It's that word for taking up a residence, for making yourself at home. Faith had a home in these people. If you looked at faith's address, it was that address of their heart. Faith was internal. It lived there. It was at home in these people. It was passed on from one generation to the next, but it was home there. How'd that happen? How did the faith pass? Isn't that the big question? It isn't by magic, right? It isn't, Liza, I'm now going to give you my faith. Now she's got faith. Woohoo! And that's not how it works. Would that it did in some ways. How did they pass it on? How did Eunice do it? How did Lois do it? Well, they did it, I'm sure, by prayer for Timothy. He would have been very much prayed for. And I'm sure they did it by modeling faith for Timothy. They had the sincere faith, and it showed, and they passed it on. And the key thing that Paul says that they did was teach Timothy the Bible. Turn over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It's across the page if you're looking in the Pew Bible. It's just right across the page, chapter 3. Paul tells Timothy the world is going to get worse, and it did. But that Timothy should follow Paul's example. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. By the way, that should sound familiar to us now because we've just gone through the book of Acts. Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. We know that story. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. By the way, that's a description of life today. Okay, that's some good advice to understand what's going to happen to us. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Does he mean Paul? Yes, I'm sure he means Paul, but more than Paul. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Key word there, for today is infancy. Was Paul in Timothy's life during Timothy's infancy? No. Who was teaching Timothy the Bible when he was still in diapers? Eunice and Lois. Godly moms nurture their children's faith by teaching them the Bible, by teaching them the Scriptures, which are God-breathed. Godly moms nurture their children's faith by teaching them the Bible, which is useful. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the child of God is ready for life. It says, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything you've got to do, you can be thoroughly equipped from here in these pages. So all godly moms are teachers. Now, mom, you might not know very much about the Bible, but you probably know more than your kids do. So give them what you know, and then learn more, and then give them that. They'll love finding out what mom's been learning. I just learned this. Let me show you this. Teach your children. This is your incredibly important job. It's more important than making sure your kids are fed and clothed. Now please do that too, okay? We want them to be full, have full tummies and be wearing clothes. But this is more important. Teach them the Bible. Nurture your kids in the Bible. These words are God-breathed. I recommend that every family have a bedtime ritual of Bible reading and prayer. Sing, too, if you can. We call our time Bible stories, and it's taken many different forms over the years. Right now, I do the boys, and mom does the girl. Doesn't sound fair, does it? We sing, we pray, we read the Bible or a story about the Bible, maybe a missionary story. Of course, bedtime isn't the only time, is it, moms? The Bible says we should be doing this all the time. When you're whizzing down the road in the minivan, when you hit a teachable moment in the kitchen, Bible teaching is not just for church time. Many Christians make the mistake of thinking that bringing their kids to church or family Bible week is enough in nurturing their faith. It is not enough. We as a church cannot be the primary disciplers of the children. We're here to help, but we're just scratching the surface. You, moms, you're on the front line. Nurture the faith of your children. Feed them the good stuff. Most moms care about junk food versus healthy food. Okay? We all love junk food on some level, but almost all moms are about giving them giving their kids a healthy meal so they grow up big and strong. The same thing with what goes into our minds and hearts. Moms, feed them the good stuff. What are you doing daily, weekly, monthly to nurture the faith of your children? What biblical meals are you serving them? Now, I don't know how Eunice did it. But from infancy, she had taught Timothy the Scriptures, and it was just what he needed. That's how she passed on the faith. Godly moms nurture the faith of their children by teaching them the Bible. Now, of course, this principle applies to all of us. We aren't all moms, but we are all called to disciple others in the Christian faith. We all need to be learning our Bibles and passing on what we learn to others. What biblical meals, guys, are you and I serving to those whom we love? Moms, it won't always be fun to be a mom. Sometimes the screaming sack of flour and the howler monkeys won't seem to appreciate what you're trying to tell them about Jesus. But they need it. They need it. And if you don't give it to them, who will? Godly moms like Lois and Eunice nurture their own authentic faith first. And then they turn around and nurture the faith of their children. Thank you, godly moms who have done that. Thank you, godly moms who are doing that. Thank you, godly moms who will do that. Keep up the good work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again and again for the moms in this room. I pray that each one would be a godly mom who nurtures the faith of their children, even those whose children are grown. and out of the house. I pray, Father, that each one would take their own faith seriously, that they would be real Christians, that sincere faith would dwell in them. They wouldn't keep it to themselves. They would pass on what they're learning in Your God-breathed Word to the children and in their care. And I pray, Father, that they would leave the children in Your hands. As hard as they are to work, they don't have power over what the child does. We don't zap the children into faith. That's Your job, Lord, to change their hearts. Lord, I pray for those who have tried to nurture faith in their children, but their children are wandering. I pray that You would give them peace, knowing that they did what they were to do. They were faithful. Or help them, Lord, to repent of the areas where they were unfaithful and leave those in Your hands as well. To leave all of everything in Your hands, to entrust ourselves to You. And I pray, Father, for a godly crop of children to be raised up as part of the Lance Free Church. Lord, help us, Lord, to put spiritual investments in the next generation so that they put spiritual investments in the next generation and the next generation until Christ returns. Thank You, Lord, for this amazing thing called the Bible. We don't understand what we have in our hands. It's powerful. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that those who are reading it are equipped for every good work. I pray, Father, that we would get deep into it and it would get deep into us so much that we would have to pass it on. I pray it in the name of Jesus. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.